Welcome to American Mosaic in VOA Special English. This is Doug Johnson. On our show this week, music by Layla and Donnie Hathaway, a listener question about the White House, and an international organization known as Sweet Potato Queens. A few years ago, Jill Connor Brown had to work at four jobs to pay her debts. Today, she is a writer whose books have sold almost 2 million copies. She also leads an international movement. Shep O'Neill tells us more.
Jill Connor Brown started an organization called Sweet Potato Queens. Its purpose is friendship and fun. Thousands of people belong to the Sweet Potato Queens. Most are women. Sweet potatoes grow in the American South. During the past 5 years, 4,000 groups of Sweet Potato Queens have organized in the United States and in foreign countries, including Saudi Arabia. Members share interests in food, love, and life after 40 years of age. Ms. Brown started her Sweet Potato Queens movement on St. Patrick's Day, 1982. A friend had organized a parade to celebrate the holiday in Jackson, Mississippi, Jill Connor Brown's hometown. Ms. Brown rode in an open truck wearing extremely unusual clothing. Her appearance surprised other drivers. She called to other women, urging them to join her. On that day, few did, but later, she made copies of the unusual clothing. She put together shining green costumes with material that makes the chest and lower back look bigger. Over her own hair, she wore a bright red wig. After that, many other women joined the celebration. Now the Sweet Potato Queens take part every year in the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Jackson. Before long, local groups of her organization formed throughout the world. Ms. Brown's first book was published in 1999. It is called The Sweet Potato Queens Book of Love. In it, she offers observations about what she calls issues. These include the four main food groups and how to wear one's hair. The book also lists words she says are guaranteed to get any man to do what you want. The book was a big success, so she wrote three more books. Jill Connor Brown's latest book is called The Sweet Potato Queen's Field Guide to Men. Every man I love is either married, gay, or dead.
Our listener question this week comes from Nigeria. Barrister Ike Chukwu Edwin Ike asks why the United States Capitol building is called the White House. The short answer to that question is that the United States Capitol building is not called the White House. The Capitol building has a dome-shaped roof that rises above all the other buildings in Washington, D.C. The two houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, meet in the Capitol building. The building known as the White House is the home of the President of the United States and his family. The President also has his office there. America's first president, George Washington, helped choose the land for the new presidential home in 1790. A competition was held to find a designer to build it. Architect James Hoban won the contest. He planned a building of grayish-white sandstone. The color gave the house its name. Work started in 1792, but the house was not ready before the end of President Washington's term. America's second president, John Adams, and his wife Abigail moved into the house on November 1, 1800. By then, the building had 6 completed rooms. Many of the rooms were still empty when John Adams left office a few months later. Other presidents tried to complete the White House, but the British burned it during the War of 1812. The White House was rebuilt after that war. Since then, it has been enlarged, repaired, and almost totally rebuilt. Today, the White House has 132 rooms. Visitors can walk through some of the public ones. Visiting has been restricted since the terrorist attacks 3 years ago, but anyone with a computer can make an electronic visit to the White House. You can see the public rooms and the Oval Office, where the President does his work. The internet address is www.whitehouse.gov. White House is all one word. The address again is www.whitehouse.gov. Singer and songwriter Layla Hathaway says music has always been a major part of her life. Her father was the rhythm and blues singer Donnie Hathaway. Shirley Griffith has our story.
Layla Hathaway released her first album in 1990. The smoky sound of her voice captured music critics and fans. Her singing is similar to the way her father sang. Here is "We Were Two" from her recent album, Outrun the Sky.
Thank you.
Layla Hathaway says the songs on her new album are about learning to deal with the joys of life and the unhappiness. Her father suffered from depression. In 1979, he killed himself. Donny Hathaway had a brief musical career, but he is remembered as one of the greatest soul singers of all time. His music is still influential and popular. Layla Hathaway says it seems unreal that her father has a new album 25 years after his death. A collection of songs by Donny Hathaway was released recently. The album, These Songs for You, Live, includes this famous song, Someday We'll All Be Free. With Layla Hathaway and a song from another album released this year, Forever, For Always, For Luther. It is a collection of songs made famous by Luther Vandross, who survived a stroke last year. Several recording artists came together to honor him with this album. Here now is Donny Hathaway's daughter Layla with Forever, For Always, For Love.
Ooh, yeah. I'm not coming home anymore. Doesn't matter. Well, if I had the chance to hold you again, heart with joy, make you remember I'm the only one for you. Yes, I would. Let's throw the bad memories out and make this the first day of forever, for always.
This is Doug Johnson. I hope you enjoyed American Mosaic. This program was written by LaJuan Davis, Jerry Lynn Watson, and Nancy Steinbach. Paul Thompson was the producer, and our engineer was Efim Drucker. Join us again next week for American Mosaic, VOA's radio magazine in special English.